sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team and broker of Movers Real Estate Company. If you're a realtor out there listening, how many realtors are up at 8 o'clock in the morning? Call me. 840-1000. I'll take you to lunch at Casa Perico's. How's that? 840-1000. Just say, hey, I'm up 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning. Today, we are going to talk about a lot of things that are mortgage related, but not really just getting a mortgage. I've got my expert. You always have that one guy that you, or gal, that you just text every time you have a question and go, am I remembering this right? Is PMI on an 85% loan this factor that I should use? What is a reinspection cost on an FHA appraisal? That kind of thing. So when you need those kind of questions asked, you've always got your expert. My expert is Dean Riddell.
Good morning, Becky. NMLS number 196895.
Good morning, Dean. I'm happy to have you here in person. I know you call in most every week and kind of give us a mortgage update, but today we kind of want to go in depth a little bit. So some things are on my mind. We had a credit repair expert here last week, Heather Maddox, and she does a blast out to dispute any incorrect items on the credit bureau. All three of them, actually. There's Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, okay? And those three are the credit bureaus that lenders use to determine whether or not you're eligible, according to your credit score, to qualify for certain loans. But what could be the downside of disputing something on your credit report?
Great question. So, you know, I was not able to participate last week, and then you and I had a brief conversation that got deep with regard to mortgage lending and pre-housing collapse to where we are today. So, roll the clock back 15 years ago, what I call that blur period in mortgage lending, and where things were too simple.
Before the 06 crash, a lot of people call that the 08 crash.
08.
In Oklahoma City, the market started going down in early 2006.
And so in that early 2000 period through 2006, the common thread at the time was, if you've got items in dispute or you want to buy a house, let someone take a look at your credit and in essence go down the road of filing disputes for anything derogatory, inconsistent on all three with all three credit repositories. So in essence, when through that period, the automated engines that lenders use, which is Fannie Mae's automated system, Freddie Mac's automated system, if items were in dispute, those items or that credit decision was masked by the items that the credit repairer or the consumer filed a dispute on.
So back before the collapse of 2008, if an item was in dispute on your credit report, it just was a zero. I mean, it was a non-factor.
Not considered part of the credit decision.
Right.
Like it didn't exist.
So it wasn't a plus, wasn't a minus. Right. It just didn't exist, basically.
So then housing collapse happens, audits take place, and it's determined a vast majority of loans that went into default and or foreclosure were attributed to items that were, when the loan closed, fell in that bucket that you just described, that they were masked, they were ignored because that item was in dispute. So we're going to assume that that's correct.
Well, and a lot of the credit scores were reflected, scored higher than they would have a few months later when all those disputes, some of them would be taken off. They're probably incorrect information. But some of them were correct items. They were just negative.
Right.
So the consumer hires a credit repair company to go in there and dispute everything negative on their credit report.
Correct.
And the party that you borrow the money from, say a clothing store.
Right.
Dillard's. We'll just take that as an example. If they don't, if Dillard's doesn't respond within 30 days to that, to whether or not that's correct or not, it's taken off.
Right. That dispute period. Yeah. They got to respond within 30 days. And so that was the push behind let's go dispute, dispute, because if that creditor does not respond, then that item is to go to be removed.
So if Dillard's person's on maternity leave, a lot of people get negative stuff erased from their credit report. And so if people don't respond, if lenders do not respond, then you've got a falsely inflated credit score.
Right.
Showing these folks are credit worthy and responsible to pay back their debt. And in fact, they weren't so responsible and didn't pay back their debts in a timely manner. So they were given mortgages and then defaulted on them. So Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and define what Fannie Mae is.
You know, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, you know, this is, I mean, this is a separate show too. I mean, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac basically own the securities, own that note, were probably 90% of the conventional notes, mortgages, held across the country. And so...
And Fannie Mae stands for?
Federal National Mortgage Association.
Okay.
And so, most commonly, everyone, you know, refer to Fannie Mae. So Fannie Mae kind of dictates in Freddie Mac what rules lenders, such as SWBC, you know, Bank of Oklahoma, whoever it may be, they dictate the rules that we have to follow with regard to, you know, credit scoring. I mean, let's talk while we're on the subject. So Fannie Mae dictates today, because we have to follow, you know, that policy, that if anyone, and this is as a result of the housing collapse, so if I pull credit today, Becky, on you, and you've got three items in dispute, your credit score is great, before we can close that transaction, I've got to have those three disputed items resolved. And sometimes the challenge is you're dealing with consumers who disputed that item 5 years ago, don't know why they disputed it, didn't know it was resolved or unresolved, but here we are today and they're trying to buy a house. Those disputed items have got to be updated, which takes place with a conference call with the consumer and the repository to say, I need this trade line updated to show that that dispute is resolved, put to bed. And that can be a challenge too, because repositories are not always responsive. So
Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, and you've got to call each of them separately. It's a time-consuming thing.
Typically a conference call.
Right. And they have to respond, and they don't, and it just stays on there as a disputed item. Well, in order to get a federally backed loan from Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. And what's Freddie Mac stand for?
Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation.
Okay. And you have to, it's the, what we call a conforming mortgage.
Right.
Right?
Well put.
We have to get all those disputes off of there, off of your credit report. They have to be resolved one way or the other.
Right. Removed or resolved.
Removed or resolved. So disputed items, yes, you should dispute anything incorrect. Sometimes, you know, I've had more than once, a few times, somebody, everything on their credit report was doubled. One of the accounts was shown absolutely paid on time. The other account was shown no payments and all these payments 90 days late. So that was a mess, but and it took a lot of time. Each time they had to be on these calls. But thank goodness for SWBC and lenders like you guys, because it took a long time to sit there on the phone and get that taken care right. of. But you guys ended up doing it, getting it taken care of. So if you have a question for Dean Riddell or for me, Becky Ivins, I want you to call us 840-1000. We're here in the 405 area code, so it's 405-840-1000. We're going to take your call. If you're a realtor and you're awake, I want you to give me a call because I'm going to get you a free lunch. Return right after this with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins. And Mr. Gannon, I do not have that program pulled up here, so if someone happens to call in, you're going to need to tell me. So I want you to call. If you are a realtor, tell me your nightmare story. I'll give you a lunch at Casa Perico's. 840-1000, just give us a call. Because there's a lot of nightmare stories around lending. Dean, I got to tell you one we did yesterday. Oh, my gosh. We got the news yesterday. We sold this house three times. It took us 7 days the first time to get it under contract. And that person came with a pre-qualification letter saying they'd pulled credit, was pre-qualified, comes right down to it, they were denied on credit. I mean, that should not happen, right?
Totally agree.
Because a lender just didn't really look at the credit report
right.
or ask the right questions about the stuff on the credit report, right? Okay. Now, that was the disputed items. Couldn't get the loan because too much was in dispute. There were six or seven things in dispute. Second time, got a buyer 7 days later. I mean, we're great at getting buyers. And these came from different realtors that showed the property. The second one, the application indicated everything was fine, sent for the tax transcripts, and even though the application said this person had paid their taxes, they hadn't even filed taxes in the last 2 years. Well, you cannot get a conforming mortgage if you don't file your taxes, right?
Correct.
Now, you can owe taxes.
Correct.
But you have to file them. So that was a problem. Yesterday, this was a first for me. This guy made a loan application through a lender. None of these were SWBC, by the way. And we got a denial yesterday on the third. It took us 6 days the next time to sell the property. So we're great. I mean, in a matter of 20 days, we were able to sell the property three times to three different people, that many days on the market. This guy, everything was looking awesome. And right before closing, like 6 days, six calendar days before closing, the lender runs the credit report a second time, which they almost always do, right?
Right.
I mean, you run the credit when you take the loan application, but then they run the credit, you run the credit again right before closing because you're kind of required to do that to get to update, right?
Well, and that's a good question because that second pull is not a hard pull, but the purpose behind that is seeing, is there any new debt that has surfaced in the last 30 days that wasn't in place 30 days ago?
Bingo.
Really?
No new debt.
Yep.
But judgment. Yep. There was a judgment filed that showed up on the credit report that was not there 30 days before. So the judgment was not all that much money. He could have paid it. The problem was he and his common law wife had made a loan application together, common law wife of 7 years. The judgment was against him and his wife. Current wife.
Wow.
He never got divorced. He was married to this woman for 10 years, not divorced. So now he falsified on a VA loan, mm-hmm. an application, VA won't deal with him. No. You start defrauding the federal right. government, they won't deal with you. So, declined his loan. And they said for credit and unresolved issues. I called the lender back and I said, hey, tell it like it is. He falsified his application because the seller's keeping the earnest money on this one. We're not giving that back to the buyer right. because he falsified his application. And decisions were made based on exactly his
what he'd indicated.
What he had indicated. Yep. They wouldn't if he'd said, hey, I've got a common law wife and a wife. There might be a judgment out there against my wife, which means it's against him if right. he's married to her. What a mess.
And you know, technology's great. And so I'm gonna defend him a little bit. But not
defend this scoundrel.
Not drastically. But technology's great. And so, as you know, the online sources, and we've got the tools where people apply online. We generate documents to and from for them to e-sign. They're filling out the data. But I truly don't think consumers understand the impact of what they're completing. It's like a hurry up. I found a house. I want to knock this thing out in a heartbeat, and they're not paying attention to the documents or the questions that are asked. Because the common one I hear is child support. You know, because that's one of the questions. You paying child support alimony. And people are completing that application online as quickly as possible, and it'll say no. And as we proceed processing that loan, we understand there's a divorce decree and a child support order. In reality, they falsified the application, let's be
yes.
honest.
Yes, well, I mean
because it is what it is, and they didn't disclose it. Now you may have a debt ratio issue. Now you may have a declined issue or something that the lender didn't create. Because your nightmare comment is so fair that there's nightmare stories in Oklahoma City and around the world all the time with regard to buying a house, financing a house, and it's not all lender's fault. I mean, sometimes it's falsifying information, undisclosing debt.
This lender did everything right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We, as the realtor, did everything right. The other realtor that sold it did everything right.
Right.
What we got a hold of is a liar.
Yep.
That, and it didn't show up to start with on the credit report. Did not show up. But what, when they reran that credit to be sure that he didn't have any new debt or anything, it showed up that he not only had a judgment, he had another wife. Well, I mean, you cannot defend that scoundrel.
No, you can't. No, you can't. You know, but a while ago you mentioned pre-approval letters.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think we all have to be in the same bucket in that what you do and your team does and what my group does and every lender, and we affect lives. So if you are initiating, as a lender, pre-approval letters that aren't substantiated, you're at risk of flipping people's lives upside down. So from a lender perspective, you better do your homework on the front end so that you're not impacting lives down the road. Because it just doesn't stop with you and the listing agent. It's the seller and whoever trickles down that line.
Yeah. And if somebody just flat out lies, that's makes it hard on everyone. Mm-hmm. The difference between pre-approval and pre-qualification.
It's going through a lot is verbal. You know, if you're going to do that, you know, hey, let's just get pre-qualified, you know, and you can go through and are you self-employed, W-2, basic information enough to initiate that pre-approval letter. To going ahead and getting pre-qualified, we are getting the full-blown W-2s, tax returns, verification of employment.
Or actually, I want to be sure everyone gets that right. A pre-qualification is based on what you verbally put right. and on the application. But pre-approval, I think you said those backwards by mistake. But pre-approval means that you've actually run the credit, verified their down payment sometimes and stuff like that, right?
Tax transcripts.
I mean, yeah. There you go. Yeah. We've got a lot more to talk about, Dean. Dean Riddell with SWBC Mortgage, and you're listening to Becky Ivins on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. See you on the other side of the news. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on On the Move. This is Becky Ivins that you are listening to, and I'm here with Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage. Dean, you know something? You're my guy I depend on for mortgage questions and to get folks qualified, right? And
right.
to get a loan. I just heard the State Farm commercial on here. Brad Russell with State Farm, I contacted him twice this week to ask questions about types of insurance that only a good insurance agent is going to know or even think about. And it's like builder's risk insurance. I said, I need builder's risk insurance. Do you want to give me a quote on that? By the way, is that covered under my umbrella policy if I get builder's risk? Is my liability if someone gets hurt there on the property? Am I going to be covered? So you need a really good resource. And Brad Russell's my guy with State Farm. And you're my guy with mortgage.
Mama, come on, baby. Tell me what's the word. I word up. Everybody say, when you hear the call, you've got to get it underway.
It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing. I got to tell you a story about Robbins Roofing. Yesterday, they went out to a property, and we had already been declined a roof claim on the property. And we requested another adjuster come out. Tad over at Robbins met the adjuster over there. And I already talked to the seller, and I said, you got to have a new roof on here because it's hail damaged, it's worn out, it's all these things. And it really wasn't hail damaged so much as wind damaged.
Right.
And it was a just under $20,000 roof. And so the seller had already agreed to pay for it. And we waited 2.5 weeks to get the new adjuster out there, because this is closing the end of next week. And I was going, man, we're cutting it kind of close here. So we went ahead and made arrangements for Robbins to put the roof on next week. And then they met the insurance adjuster out there. Now, that was a happy call I got to make to that homeowner, because that $19,800-some-dollar roof is being paid for by the insurance company because it didn't have that much hail damage on it. It had wind damage, and Robbins Roofing knew the difference on that. So if you're looking for an expert roofer, call Robbins Roofing. They're my friends. They are experts. I've been associated with Robbins through my clients and through myself. They've put on lots of roofs for me for 20 years. And their number is 728-3700. It's 728-3700. So our word of the day today, Dean, are you ready for this one? You used it earlier.
Let's go.
You said, well, it's not a hard pull on the credit.
Right.
Well, there's an actual term for that. I thought that was an industry term. I mean, just kind of a slang. But hard inquiries generally occur when a financial institution, such as a lender or credit card issuer, checks your credit when making a lending decision. That commonly takes place when you apply for a mortgage loan or you apply for a credit card, and you typically have to authorize them to pull your credit. So a hard pull on your credit is when you've authorized someone to check your credit. Now, a soft pull would be like your insurance company.
Right.
Has a right to check your credit about every 6 months, as I understand it, before they reissue that new policy.
Right.
They can check your credit to be sure that you're not in desperate situation, because your credit score affects the amount of your insurance payment.
Correct.
Quite a bit. So, hard pull. That's our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing. So, Dean, see, there you are, just being my knowledgeable guy in the industry again. Okay, so you told me a story during the break. Do you remember what it was?
Well, yeah, there's a couple stories, but one was on the subject of someone who has filed bankruptcy.
Right.
So
what happens if you file bankruptcy?
So I met with a gentleman yesterday who filed a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, which typically is, you know, you're discharging your debt.
It's big-time bankruptcy.
Yeah, or in which, you know, you can reaffirm your house. If you own a home, you can reaffirm your home, car. But the purpose behind it is to discharge your debt, that bad debt, medical debt, young debt, you know, in your young ages. But in essence, and I see this a lot, Becky, someone who, clear conscience, filed a Chapter 7 a year and a half ago. I pull his credit. There were, honestly, probably 15 debts, because I had his bankruptcy papers there, too, that he discharged in his bankruptcy.
Okay.
So, pull his credit yesterday. It's too soon for him to be able to qualify to buy a house. But part of my purpose when I do this with people is, and it doesn't cost them anything, it's just time, and come by and visit and show me your documents. But when I pulled his credit, he probably had 10 of the 15 items discharged, zeroed out on his credit report by indicating discharged in a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, which is correct. But he also had 4 or 5 debts that he had discharged where balances still remain, still showing in a derogatory collection status that in reality is inaccurate. Because
aren't those supposed to be taken off when you do a bankruptcy?
Those should be zeroed out with the notation of discharged in a Chapter 7 bankruptcy.
But they were not.
But they were not. So this was a great opportunity with him. You know, I kind of gave him a homework and a path to, these are the 5 creditors you need to pursue, because provide them your discharge of debtors, because they were on there, and he can get those zeroed out. But that rebuilding of credit following a bankruptcy is essential for life, whether it be your auto insurance, your homeowner's insurance, or buying a house. So you've got to start that rebuilding process, but he's kind of behind the eight ball a little bit, because there's still 4 or 5 derogatory items out there that shouldn't be.
So he can, how do you get those off?
Well, he will have to pursue those with the creditors that are on the credit report by providing his discharge papers from his bankruptcy showing that ABC account was discharged in my bankruptcy.
Okay. Now, can you get a loan after bankruptcy?
2 years from the date of discharge, not filing, on an FHA loan, VA loan. 2 years.
2 years from the date of discharge on an FHA and a VA loan. Isn't it 3 years on a conventional?
Yes, but you know, then you're back to that credit scoring comment with this guy I was meeting with. His scores never are ramping up because those 4 or 5 items that are still showing balances out there, and he hasn't rebuilt credit, and he still has that baggage. So it's 2 years from the date of discharge, and your credit scores are back up in that 600-plus range.
And then you told me about this woman that had, like, 5 bad slow pays.
Yeah, great story. And honestly, I see this a lot. The credit bureaus say that, you know, everyone should have 1 or 2 installment debts, car, student loan, mortgage, and 2 or 3 revolving debts. So
revolving debt, kind of like a department store or credit card?
Credit cards.
Okay.
And so this is hard on me as a lender in this credit score environment we are today, when I've got someone who's anti-credit cards, but they want to buy a home. So she comes in, has 4, 5, or 6 medical collections, you know, an AT&T collection, but 0 positive trade lines reported on her credit. She has no debt.
So she has 5 bad ones, but no good ones, and the bad ones didn't have that much balance on them.
Correct.
They were kind of small debts.
Correct. And her comment, and this is the one that I get commonly asked, is, so if I go pay off these 5 debts, because I've got 401k access, I can go pay off those debts. Can I qualify for a house? And the answer is no. And we live in that credit score environment where you've got to have those positive trade lines reporting to your credit. And so, you know, I basically said, no, you can't without going and establishing some credit. Go get a secured credit card. I always call it the gas game. You know, go get a secured credit card, $300 at ABC Bank or wherever you bank. Buy a tank of gas once a month, pay it off when you get it. But the point I was trying to make with her is, just because you resolve that bad debt, you have to establish some positive history.
I mean, someone that's going to loan you $150,000 or whatever your house loan is going to be, want some assurance that you pretty much pay your debt back.
Right.
And she had no history of paying back on time.
She had no history. I mean, the only thing she had was derogatory.
Bad debt.
Collections, yep.
Yeah. Oh, man. But somehow thinks that someone's going to loan her money to buy a house.
And so you have to, I mean, I was fortunate enough she came because she was referred by a past client. So she kind of came in the stage that you and I talk about, too. Get prepared before you buy a house. I mean, make sure your ducks are in a row before you ever call Becky to find a home, that you've met with a lender, address anything credit-wise that needs to be addressed, make sure it's bulletproof, then go find you a home.
We have got some really interesting news for you guys about how can you build up your credit without borrowing any money. We're going to talk about that right after this break on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company, and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. My license number is 47388, and we are here with Dean Riddell of SWBC Mortgage, who's been answering a lot of questions, and we are going to be talking about how can you build up a good credit score without going into debt. You would think that's impossible, wouldn't you? But you had somebody do it.
I did. For the first time in my lifetime, 30 days ago, I had a young single mom in my office and who had, she may have had one credit card in, on her credit report, but the vast majority of the items on her credit report were what were called self-reported items. Or so the creditor, even her, I mean, her landlord was reporting her monthly rents every month. Her cell phone was reporting. And one or two utilities reporting as well on her credit report. And so I was able to see an 18-month history, because it obviously on the report it says months reported. So I'm seeing an 18-month history on items such as rent, cell phone, and some utilities.
And it's called self-reporting.
And that was the verbiage that was noted on the report. So self-reporting, not as in from herself, but basically those individual landlord and utility companies were reporting her credit. Her payment history was reflecting all over. There was four or five trade lines. So Obviously, I mean, and that contributes to that credit score that we're talking about.
Well, I'm going to investigate that, and I'm going to bring my listeners the information exactly how to do that.
That's on my to-dos as well. I mean, I addressed it, but I do want to learn more about it. I mean,
Dean,
I think that's what makes
it. Let's go to Casa Perico and talk about it.
We can do that. We can do that.
Do you know what was so nice is the folks there at Casa Perico knew we were having a meeting. It was they offered to put us in a booth. There were three of us. And we said, we really kind of need a larger table where we can kind of spread out because we're going to work. They put us in a quiet spot, and they checked on us, but didn't bother us. Yeah. And it was so nice to be able to do that. So, again, go see my folks at Casa Perico. And so on, what do you need to do if you're thinking about buying a house on your credit, on to prepare for your loan? What do you need to do? A lot of folks listen to this show and they have it. People who listen to this show tend to be influential to their family members and friends. So they don't contact me as much as they say, oh, my aunt listens to your show and she said you said this. So I know it reaches pretty far. So let's tell folks, if you're thinking about, or if you have a family member or friend who's thinking about buying a house, what are the steps you should take up front?
You know, don't run from sitting down and having a lender pull your credit. Everyone's initial reaction is I don't want a hard pull, a hard inquiry on my credit. That standalone pull is not going to, because a credit score is impacted by the multiple times that it's pulled, but probably as important is the purpose of that pull. So You know, if I pull, you know, a consumer's credit report today, it's the only time her credit's been pulled in the last 90 days, let's say, it's not going to hurt her. Now, if she goes out this afternoon to a car dealership and has her credit pulled again this afternoon, well, yeah, you're going to have some multiple action going on that credit report because it's saying, is it mortgage related? Is it installment car related? Is she trying to buy a house? Was she trying to buy a car? Is she trying to buy both? So the one thing I'm going to do is, you know, embrace a lender that you can sit down with that will look at your credit from all three repositories, because as a lender, you have the ability to pull an in-file, which is a single report, i.e. TransUnion, but I discourage that. I'm a big fan of the tri-merge report, which is from all three bureaus. Again, I do this, Becky, daily, weekly, and it doesn't cost the consumer anything to come in, walk through credit with me. But when I sit down with a consumer, it's going to be, these are your three scores, this is your life, this is your history, and we start carving that up. So it becomes, you know, resolving any outstanding items that are out there, but also, do you have enough credit coming in that's going to feed that credit score? You have to have a blend to drive that score of one or two installment debts and two or three revolving debts to drive that credit score. So it's honestly, embrace a lender, embrace your bank, someone that's going to take a look at your credit ever before you find that house, get your credit lined up, get it to the optimum spot you can be in. So then when they call you, Becky, you're ready to go.
Right. What are the other things that they need to bring to you or to any good lender in order to make a loan application?
You know, the things that come to mind are, you know, your last 2 years' tax returns and W-2s, all pages, two most recent bank statements, all pages, two most recent pay stubs. We've got to show a 30-day history as far as what earnings have been, driver's license, 401k, investment account statements, typically the most quarter ending, any bankruptcy papers for the bankruptcy, you know, should it apply, bankruptcy papers, discharge papers.
Divorce papers?
Divorce, child support, alimony, very much.
Student loan?
Student loans. Yeah, and those should be on credit. Yeah, but, you know, two of the consumers I had this week were call-ins. He said, I need to know where I am. And so I said, don't worry about, you know, I have credit issues. I said, don't worry about bank statements, pay stubs, tax returns. Fill out my data. Come see me. Let's walk through it together. And that, right. That lines them up.
There you go. If you want to contact Dean Riddell, SWBC Mortgage, I want you to call 858-7770. Just go to BeckyIvins.com, look at Becky's favorites. You're going to find Dean on there and all my other favorites. Call me this week sometime, 722-3232. I'll see you next week with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.